There had been a moment to look around at where they'd emerged from the naked rock. Just to one side was the obvious remains of an emergency exit from the redoubt, but the door had been twisted out of shape by some massive earth movement. Probably at the time the nukes fell, and the corridor leading to it had been distorted, leaving only the slender gap that they'd managed to find and exploit. Now they stood on a narrow ledge, less than 6 feet in width. Ryan had already checked the drop, which was nearly 700 feet, onto spires of crumbled sandstone. The cliff above them rose 200 feet, nearly vertical. In any case, since the redoubt was going to explode in a big way, it seemed a bit pointless to think about climbing up. It would be like sitting on the nose of a missile and striking it with a large hammer. Despite their tiredness, there wasn't a second to waste.
Come on!
Ryan led the way along the ledge, moving to the right, where he'd seen a goat path that zigzagged across the face of the mountain. JB was keeping an eye on his cron.
16 minutes, Ryan.
Keep the count.
In his heart, Ryan knew that their chances weren't that good. There was no way they were going to be able to get far enough away from the redoubt in the short time left to them. The trader used to say that it didn't matter if the odds against survival were 1,000,000 to 1. You still tried for that one chance. Frequently glancing over his shoulder to check that the others were keeping up with him, Ryan led the companions on a breath-stopping descent. Slipping, sliding, and tumbling, they ignored the cuts and bruises and the dust that stung their eyes. They just kept moving.
7 minutes!
Very soon, Ryan knew they'd have to stop and try to find some cover, however minimal. If the redoubt self-destructed while they were out on the exposed hillside, then they'd all be pulped. Several hundred yards below them were the ruins of some buildings, but it was obvious that they'd been destroyed long years ago. They were useless for shelter and safety. Christy paused and pointed to something just beyond the farthest building.
What's that?
It looked like a huge saucer of white metal, streaked with orange rust.
Radar dish.
A satellite receiver, I believe.
5 minutes.
Ryan made the decision. There was just room for all of them to squeeze under the fallen metal dish, pressed against one another.
Come on, we're going under it.
What if it's not strong enough?
Get killed if not strong enough.
Inside 2 minutes. Can't be too sure about accuracy within a minute or so. Could be any moment.
They all made it under the dish. Christy had her arm around Ryan's shoulders.
If we don't make it, then it's been good. Wish we could have found a place to settle, lover.
Ryan held her tight, his cheek against hers, not saying anything. Waiting.
I make it around 30 seconds. Hang on, people!
Farewell, comrades. I would just like to remark that...
There was a shockwave that moved the earth beneath, behind, and all around them. All 6 companions blacked out. They were lifted up and slammed down, and the metal disc above them rang like a bell. There was a pressure that hurt the ears, and a vague booming sound that seemed to swirl around between sky and earth. When Ryan came around, he was deafened by the rocks and stones pounding on the satellite dish above them. He instinctively curled partway into a ball, grabbing for Christy to try to protect her. It was impossible to see beyond the circular edge for the whirling dust. The ground beneath Ryan was still trembling from the shock, and what he guessed was some minor detonations in the remains of the redoubt. It crossed his mind that this was what it must have been like when the United States of America died and the Deathlands was born. The tremors continued for half an hour. Ryan had ordered everyone to remain within the relative safety of the metal shield. It had been visibly dented and battered by the hail of stones that had struck it, some of them having obviously been hurled hundreds of feet in the air. Without its protection, there wasn't much doubt that all 6 of them would have died. Ryan's head ached, and his good eye was sanded sore. Jack had begun to bleed copiously from both ears, but it had finally stopped, and the boy seemed little the worse for the experience.
Nearly 30 minutes, it's a blow.
Okay, let's move. Come out real slow and easy. Don't know what the mountain's like up there above us.
Sweet Jesus on the cross.
The rest of them stared in silence. A whole section of the hillside above them had completely vanished, as though a giant excavator had bitten a monstrous slice from the rock. Millions of cubic feet of stone and concrete had disappeared in the cataclysmic explosion. The prevailing wind was blowing the pillar of dark smoke away toward the east, away from the six companions, obscuring the horizon. There wasn't the least sign that there'd ever been a redoubt. All around them, the land was scattered with smashed stone, some pieces the size of a small wag. The metal dish that had saved their lives was pitted and scarred, with dozens of chunks of rock all over its battered top. Ryan turned away, and for the first time was able to take a more leisurely look at where they were. It was a bleak, desert landscape, blood-hued and inhospitable. There were more mountains toward the south, across a featureless plain, dotted with stately saguaro cactus and yucca. As far as the eye could see, there was no evidence of any human activity.
Don't look like much.
Looks good to me, lover. Looks like life.
Doc was hypnotized by the ravaged mountain beneath which they'd lived for so many wearisome days.
I am Death, the destroyer of worlds. By the three Kennedys, that is power too great.
No red count.
Where to now?
We should check where we are first. You do it, JB. Once we know that, we can decide what to do, where to go.
While the armorer began to take the necessary observations with his microsextant, the other sat down on the sun-heated rocks. Christy and Ryan smiled at each other.
Lover?
Yeah?
Could be worse.
Sure. Could all have died there, like ants under a wheel.
You nearly went with that poison.
He held her warm hand.
Too close.
When you were out in that long sleep, where were you?
Ryan kissed her hand, tasting the roughened skin and the dust.
I was in the past.
Your own past?
Yeah. Good place to visit for a while, but I sure wouldn't want to go and live there.
Somewhere in Deathlands, if it had survived, the child of Sharona Carson, fathered by Ryan Cotter, would be about 10 years old. Deathlands Time Nomads is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2006, The Cutting Corporation. Performed by Richard Rowan, with Terrence Aselford, Colleen Delaney, Dolores King-Williams, Nanette Savard, Karen Carbone, David Coyne, Thomas Penny, Ken Jackson, Casey Jones, Christopher Graybill, and Mort Shelby. Additional red shirts by The Dead Giveaways. Directed by Rick Rowan. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Vocal editing by Nathan DeBoard and Johann Detweiler. Graphic audio sound design by Brian Patton and Johann Detweiler. The Deathlands theme was composed by Mark Ashby. Additional original music by Brian Patton, Matt Webb, Chris Rowan, and Nathaniel Perry. Script adapted for graphic audio by Mort Shelby. If you enjoy Deathlands, be sure to look for James Axler's Outlanders. Keep listening for exciting previews of other graphic audio titles.
The following previews are of graphic audio productions rated for mature audiences due to scenes of intense violence and sexual situations.
In the blood and mayhem of the Deathlands, one rarely gets to relax and enjoy even a single minute, let alone visit paradise.
Welcome to Green Glades, where your every desire can come true.
Ooh, what's that, Mildred?
Oh, a roller coaster. I used to love those when I was your age. Looks like fun, doesn't it?
Dad, can I go? Can I ride?
Sure, son.
But in the Deathlands, everything comes with a price tag.
There's something I want from you, friend Ryan.
And what's that, Zap?
Your son, Ryan. I want your son.
And now, Ryan faces the decision of his life.
For my dead body, you sick bastard.
That can be arranged.
Deathlands number 14, Dark Carnival.
Deathlands 14, Dark Carnival, will be in travel centers and truck stops throughout North America starting June 2006. Or call 1-800-670-5220 to reserve or download your advance copy of Dark Carnival. For your convenience, this information is also printed on the cover of this book.
In a human empire of technological wonders, an old human affliction has reared its ugly head, and the Empire's scientists can do nothing about it but quarantine the afflicted. The jungle planet...